Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm John Batchelor with Foundation for the Defense of Democracy's analyst Sophie McDowell. She and her colleagues, Ahmed Sharari and Stefan Vidanovich, have identified a phenomenon I had no knowledge of, which is using music, embedding in music language that is stirring, inspirational, and pointing you towards violence, mass violence in some instances. I know that it works in German because I've heard the Horst Wessel song. I know that you could say, without being too unfair-minded, that it works with the Battle Hymn of the Republic in 1864. And certainly it works all the time when you can understand the language, but it's not absolutely necessary. Sophie, I have viewed a lot of videos coming out of Afghanistan over the years, and they're singing in Arabic or other languages that I don't understand, but it's rhythmic, repetitive, and inviting, almost hypnotic-making. And sometimes it's associated with video of a man emerging from a well on a white horse, for example, or some heroic activity by a so-called guerrilla. And all inspirational. But at the same time, Sophie, the First Amendment. Content and the First Amendment are not an easy mix. How does it work? How do you get past that wall of the First Amendment?
Thanks, John. This is obviously the challenge, and we've seen this challenge in the U.S. especially because obviously freedom of speech is the number one most important thing. How do we protect ourselves from the demonstrated risk of online radicalization and restricting content while still maintaining those principles? And that's one of the reasons it's been such a challenge for the government especially. So we've seen since 2006 multiple efforts, multiple initiatives by the United States government to do counterterrorism efforts. And even last week, we saw the new release of the Trump administration's counterterrorism strategy. And in that strategy, they emphasized the fact that American citizens are being targeted by this type of radicalist content. And you mentioned the imagery, how impactful, even when you don't speak the language, the audio content can be. I mean, if people say a picture is worth 1,000 words, I would say a song or a video is worth maybe 10,000. And that feeling that you get to is something that, of course, is most impactful, and it is so difficult to moderate. Audio content poses a specific challenge because it's more challenging for the automated systems. Trump's strategy talks about how it's important to have very aggressive counter-propaganda operations. Doing this in a way where you recommend to groups like the platforms have the ability to moderate the content on their platforms because users sign agreements that they will not post terrorist content. These are all in the content guidelines of these platforms. At the same time, yes.
No, I'm sure that that is accurate about the platforms, but you raise the possibility that they're overwhelmed, or do they have resources they're not calling upon?
So the platforms are doing the best they can. A lot of them invest a significant amount of resources into monitoring the content. It's a challenge because how do you classify that content? And that's the First Amendment issue we're getting into here. What is violative content, terrorist content that should not be allowed? And what is perfectly reasonable free speech or expression? And so some of the things that we've talked about here at FDD to potentially aid in answering that question is, one, having the right information to do it. Part of that comes from collaboration with the government. One of the challenges that we're facing right now, and that I'm interested to see what the administration does following the release of that strategy that calls so strongly for counter-propaganda and terrorism efforts, is that the United States government has had multiple centers, a global engagement center, the Foreign Influence Task Force at the FBI, a Foreign Malign Influence Center at the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, who all worked on understanding the threat, and that helps you understand how you can accurately define what is crossing the line between free speech and content that is inflammatory in a way that should not be allowed, that is posing an actual threat. Now, those organizations have been shut down, which is a further challenge.
In addition, the foreign languages, and they're changing their patterns all the time. Is there an organization at the other end of this doing this, one driver, or are there multiple sources of this? Is this popular to create, you know, sort of do it your own inspirational jihadist song, or is there one place that it comes from?
So there's a few places. There's definitely one-offs, I think, of people that produce, and that's something that's also a virtue of the information and online environment we're in today, where anyone can record a song and publish it online. We do identify in our report a few different groups, we call them Islamic art bands. There's a few different bands that we talk about that have explicit ties to Hamas. These bands, some of them, the leaders have specifically voiced that the purpose of their music is to combat what he called musical normalization, which is defined as any dramatic or musical artwork that is promoting the idea of coexistence of Jews in Palestine and that they, Jewish people, have rights like Palestinians. And so the leaders of these groups have specifically spoken out and said, one of the points of our music is to get away from that idea and to further the Islamist jihadist cause.
You point to one track in particular that I have not listened to, so I don't know if it's one of those hypnotic tracks. October Flood, Al-Aqsa Flood. That would be easy to find with an AI. Are there others like that that have such a high profile?
Yeah, so there are some. We identified over 500 songs, and some of them had very explicit references, like Al-Aqsa Flood, which is a reference to the October 7th attacks on Israel. Others use some of that more deceptive language. So the title of the song may be just something innocuous. Right. But then the cover art, because on each of these platforms, there's usually cover art imagery, may be an AI-generated image or a Photoshopped image of somebody paragliding into Israel or Tel Aviv. And so that imagery and then the content of the song will have the more explicit mentions. But that's one of the challenges as well, is that if it's within the audio content, how well are our systems prepared to listen to that content and to act on it?
Sophie McDowell for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, about a world of terror that I had no knowledge of until right now. I'm John Batchelor.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.